Hey everyone, Bert here. Before we get into this episode, just want to address something real quick. Resident Bad Boy Brandon the Boy went very method this episode and did his best Immortan Joe impression the whole time. Now, while it is a spot-on impression, his audio doesn't sound the greatest. Michael's done what he can, but he still sounds a bit tinny. All in all, I still think you'll enjoy this ep, we just wanted to let you know ahead of time. I'll stop rambling now and let you get into this great episode about the greatest film of all time. Oh, what a lovely day! Hey everybody, welcome back to Check the Gate, an AFI deep dive. I'm Bert, and this podcast is Fire and Blood. As always, I'm joined with my fellow war boys, Brandon.
Hello.
And Michael.
Hello.
And today we are doing the greatest film ever put on film, I guess.
What a lovely day!
Yeah, what a lovely day it is, in fact. We all worship the V8. We're doing Mad Max Fury Road. A 2015 film about, in a post-apocalyptic wasteland, a woman rebels against a tyrannical ruler in search for her homeland. With the aid of a group of female prisoners, a psychotic worshiper, and a drifter named Max.
Yeah.
Michael, I was blown away to find out you had never seen this.
Were you, though?
Yeah, I was.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was fucking dope, man. I watched it. Whenever it was Wednesday, whenever I texted you and I got done, I was like, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
You said you watched that making of too?
Yeah, I watched it even more insane. Yeah, I watched it the next day and I was just like, because you had said, you know, you gave me little tidbits without spoiling it for me. But yeah, just looking through all of it, I was like, that shit I didn't even think about. It just makes it all the better, you know?
This is your modern day Ben-Hur.
You know, it really is. They're
doing the chariot race. Obviously, we have we got some CG touch-ups here and there. They're taking out all the rigging. You know, they're, you know, putting that filter over to make all the colors pop a little brighter. Obviously, the sandstorm is very CGI. But everything they, all the vehicles, operational and work.
Crazy.
And two, everything they do with it is a practical stunt. And it is truly amazing. Brandon.
Pretty sick.
What do you think?
I love it.
Yeah,
it is truly amazing. There's so much going on. You know, just in those action sequences, it's insane. Like, even watching it, I don't know, I've probably seen this 4 or 5 times now. Every time I like focus in on something new of those crazy chase scenes, but just the story's great. The way it's shot's great. Great movie.
This is probably the movie I talk about the most.
You do talk about this movie a lot.
You sure do. I was like, I was really intrigued to watch it, you know, because I was thinking about some of the frames. Just the same thing as when we watched, what did we watch last week? Ex Machina. And mm-hmm. You sent me that GIF, and then I put two and two together. You've sent me GIFs from Mad Max like so many times, and I put two and two together. So what a fun, way to connect the dots.
It is always fun seeing a GIF in the wild and being like, oh.
Yeah. There we go.
I don't know why this movie is. A little backstory. So back when we were on nights, peek behind the candelabra here, people in Radioland, we all used to work night crew together. I don't know if you guys were on that crew, but myself and another guy, Travis, we all know him, we started doing movie marathons. We started it because my friend, Brandon's arch nemesis, Zach, had never seen any Back to the Future movie or Indiana Jones movie. So our first movie marathon, we watched those six movies back to back to back to back to back. And then once a month, we would then pick a theme, usually a director, and we would have a movie. We'd get a bunch of guys from work. We'd all come over. We'd bounce back and forth either at my place or Travis's place. When the trailer dropped for this, the hype that Travis and I both had for this movie, I really like Road Warrior. This is the fourth movie, we should say, in a series that now has 5 installments. The first one and the third one are fine, but Road Warrior is, you know, up there. Great film. The fact that what they were doing in this, it looks so amazing. I remember we had everybody come over, night crew. We bought tickets. By the way, I have some, when we get to ticket cost, I actually have my ticket stub. and we can compare. This is what I'm saying. I don't know why this is the movie, but.
And yes, this was, to answer your question, I was definitely on that crew.
Yeah.
At this time when this movie came out.
Yeah. 2015, baby.
I totally remember you guys just like bumping boners over it.
Dude.
Love doing that.
We were straight up sword fighting.
Yeah.
we watched all three and then went, you know, had some pizzas over. We all had some drinks. We bring in alcohol to the theater. You know what you do when you're... This was... one of the best theater experiences I've ever had. Watching this movie in a packed theater back when that was still a thing, of just people that were like, you could feel everybody holding their breath. Especially, you know, after that sandstorm when it goes dark. The other day I was watching it with my wife. I've seen this movie like 3 times in the last month, by the way. This is my comfort movie. I tell my wife, Cassie, in the film Inside Out, the girl has those islands of like key moments in her life. And I was like, somewhere in the Inside Out in my head, there is just a weird Mad Max Fury Road island of just the cast of Rad on motorbikes, dropping bombs on war rigs.
People swinging back and forth, you know. Just
pull cats. I don't know what it is, but every time I watch this movie, I'm just like, well, I can't vacuum the house now. I gotta watch this final chase.
Is there just like a part of you that like feels like in a distant lifetime that you were just born on Fury Road and it's like you just connect to it?
Dying historic on the Fury Road.
There is something There is something like stylistically about this movie. It's just like a little like eccentric, but just not too crazy. But I don't know. It just
I'll bit touch weird. On that when we get into it because it's one of my favorite parts of the whole movie. Yeah. How it's stylistically shot. Yeah.
All of these movies directed by the same guy. He owns the rights. George Miller owns the rights, so they can't make another movie without him. I'm hoping he turned 70 while filming this movie.
Damn.
And he now just made Furiosa this past year, and he's what, 82 now? They filmed this in 2013, I should say, and it came out took 2 years to edit. They shot 470 hours and had to whittle that down to 2 hours. His wife, Margaret Sexel, is the one who edited the film too.
God forbid they run into as many issues as they did filming or pre-production, like making a third installment, you know.
This was a 20-year making of film, which, you know, we're here. We can touch on it now. Mid-90s, he got the rights back. He was supposed to film the movie Contact. Something fell through. They kind of paid him off by giving the rights back to Mad Max. So there were talks about making it maybe possibly a TV show. I can't imagine. That would be an insane TV show.
Yeah.
Probably insanely expensive, too. He wanted to come back and make it with Mel in the early 2000s. Pre-production was starting. They were about to get boots on the ground in Arizona, in Australia. And then 9/11 happened, and it absolutely destroyed the Australian dollar. The economy in Australia tanked because of 9/11. Okay, we'll put it on hold, push it back. 2003, all right, let's get back at it. Australia gets the largest amount of rainfall it ever had in 15 years. Now suddenly the wasteland goes from desert to green. There's plants
flowers.
Growing now.
Yeah, there's flowers everywhere.
Okay, can't do it now. Push it back. I want to say it was like 2007 or 2010. Because it was right around the time he's like, okay, well, I'll make Happy Feet. By the way, the creator of this film made Happy Feet 1 and 2, produced Babe. Directed Babe, Pig in the City. I remember that on all the promotional stuff, you know, from the twisted mind of Babe, Pig in the City, and Happy Feet.
Here comes a movie about racing through the desert.
Finally, they realize Mel's getting a little too old and a little problematic. So they reach out to Tom Hardy, who turns out was probably just as bad. He was a terrible person to work with on this film. He was a super diva. Him and Charlize Theron were getting in fights. We'll talk a little bit later about, you know, altercations that happened while filming. And then just the logistics of they finally decide to move to Namibia, Africa. Great desert. Those canyons are great. They got the Great Dunes. So they moved everything to Namibia, started shooting. And then also, you know, you're filming out in the middle of the desert. It's unwieldy. Very Lawrence of Arabia. We talked about how once you have to reset everything, got to get rid of the tracks. You have random dust storms you can't account for. You got to keep your car engines clean with all that stuff that's going on. Plus, you got to pay for gasoline.
True.
They filmed in sequence, which is insanely expensive to do. So instead of normally what you do is if you're going to be on a location, you film every scene in the movie at that location, and then you move on. He wanted to film it in sequence, so everybody was getting more in the zone. But what that does is you're now having to move your sets every single day further, farther down different locations, and
stuff gets really crazy. A lot of time, wasted time.
Mm-hmm. 8 month shoot, 6 months. They shot for 6 months straight. And then came back and did some reshoots in Sydney, Australia. They were not even going to have the Citadel stuff. The head of Warner Brothers wanted to shut the film down, so they didn't have an opening or a closing scene, you know. And then finally, by the time the new Warner guy came in, he watched the film and he goes, "This movie doesn't make any sense." And he goes, "Yeah, it's because we don't have our bookends." And he goes, "All right, do your reshoots. Has to end on this day." So they went back, got everybody back in the gang, reshaved Charlize Theron's head.
She's like, "Damn it, I was almost growing it back."
Thought we were past
she that. Did. She did that on her own. Oh. She was supposed to have like platinum blonde hair, and she was like, "I don't." She went to the director and said, "I feel like my character, with being the you know impertinent Furiosa, working on cars, you're just going to get it caught. How are you keeping everything so platinum blonde?" So she was like, "Don't you think I'd look way better with a shaved head?" And he goes, "You said it, not me." And then so she shaved her head. She sent him a photo, and he goes, "I love it. Let's do it."
And it makes total sense. Like, you're not going to care for your long, luscious locks while working in the desert like that. So
yeah.
It just chef's kiss.
Mm-hmm. Let's dive into this monstrosity, shall we? Like I said, 2015 film. It's going to sound very familiar because we did this last week. top three films. Number three, Furious 7. Two, Jurassic World. One, Star Wars Force Awakens. Boo. A ticket cost, allegedly, $8.43. My ticket stub cost $10.59.
Outrageous.
Boom.
Which is equivalent to $14.01. The budget for this film was somewhere between $154.6 million and $185.2 million, which is equivalent to anywhere between $204.4 and $244.9 million. The box office was $380.5 million, which is equivalent to $503.2 million.
Whopper.
This film was nominated for 10 Academy Awards, and it won 6. And this was a very important Oscars, Brandon. This was the first year you won the bet.
Inaugural year. Well, for Brandon.
Well, for Brandon. He's on the board.
Yeah.
Hanging in the loop. It lost visual effects, cinematography. George Miller was snubbed at Best Director, and I'll get into that in a second. And it lost Best Picture. It won, however, production design, sound editing, sound mixing, makeup and hairstyling, costume design, and film editing. So the director's wife went home with an Oscar, Margaret Sixel. I argue that George Miller should have won Best Director for this film. This movie had no script. Everything was storyboarded, like a comic. Everything that he drew, wrote down. I think he said, I just finished the book about the making of this film. That's how deep into this I am.
Damn.
I listened to an entire audiobook about it. 85 to 90% of the storyboards you see in this film.
I've seen a stat or something. It was like over 3,000 storyboards.
Yeah, he says it in that making of YouTube thing where it's like, he's like, by the time we were done, you know, more or less, like getting everything together, there was just a storyboard all around them. Yeah.
But yeah, 322,000, wasn't it? It was
Then the number of shots, it was like right around, like give or take, you know, a couple hundred.
Yeah. For him to precisely take exactly what is storyboarded, obviously you're dealing with an insane production. You're finally getting off the ground. You're making the movie you want, but the way that he's actually directing these storyboards into actually what we see on screen is way more admirable than a guy who's just filming Leonardo DiCaprio be cold. No offense.
Nice.
Three, two. But and that's the reason why I lost the bet too. I remember because I was like, Michael, to fill you in, back then, we didn't bet. It wasn't who had the most picks.
Mm-hmm.
We bet on the top. It was like 7.
Yeah.
4 acting, director, best picture was 6. And then if there was the original screenplay was a tiebreaker. But if we each had the tiebreaker, then it would go to total picks. Mm.
That makes sense.
And I lost because I picked George Miller to win director. But it's all good. What are you gonna do?
Yeah.
Sometimes they get it wrong, you know?
What are you gonna do? Green book?
The movie opens up, gets us caught up. We see Tom Hardy looking out over the desolate desert. He's standing next to the famous interceptor from the Mad Max films. Kind of a bummer we don't get a lot of it. You know, as a Mad Max fan. Michael, do yourself a favor. Go back and watch those other 3 films, too.
Be right back.
All right. And pause. See you in 6 hours. We don't need another hero. He gets us kind of caught up. This movie kind of acts more in the kind of a sequel, but almost more of a reboot kind of thing, where the previous films don't really matter. All we need to know is that, like he says, he was a cop in the before times and became a road warrior. You know, obviously hinting at the first 2 films. He doesn't mention Tina Turner once. How about the 3rd one? Saying, you know, he goes around trying to help people he lost. He's clearly haunted by the people he couldn't save. We know in the first film he loses his wife and child. To Toe Cutter, who is the villain played, is the same actor who's playing Immortan Joe in this film. Not the same character, but the same actor playing 2 different bad guys in 2 Mad Max films.
Haunting.
We get that great shot of him eating that 2-headed lizard. And then quickly packs up his pack, gets in his car, and takes off. And I love how there's just like a good 6 second pause of nothing before we see a herd, you know, Hell on Wheels is actually chasing him. We're actually picking up this film in the middle of another movie, you know, kind of thing. We're in the middle of a chase scene, and we're picking right up, and we're starting off with a bang with them using those thunder sticks to blow out his back wheel. Flips the car 9 times. When they were rehearsing that stunt, they originally did it 13 times, which would have been a record.
Dang.
But since it, 4 on film, but since it wasn't on film, didn't count. They actually had to figure out a way to... They hooked up a clamp to the bottom that would flip her out to help flip. They were worried because normally when you flip a car, you're alone, you cut the wheel, you flip. But because they were surrounding his vehicle with motorbikes and other cars, they wanted to figure out how to do it without destroying the other cars and keeping everybody safe. And the main stunt guy on this film was also the guy who did a lot of the stunts for Road Warrior. I don't know how well your memory is for Road Warrior, Brandon, but he's the guy who famously breaks his legs off the motorcycle in Road Warrior, where he gets thrown off the bike and his legs hit a car.
Oh, yeah.
And then he starts flipping through the air. He's the main stunt guy on this film.
Very cool.
He's taken captive. They give him a nice haircut. They tattoo his back and brand him with the Morton Joe's symbol. And the detail in this movie of stuff you don't even see, you can actually, you know, if you pause it, his back tattoo actually says...
Oh, negative.
Day 12,045, height 10 hands, 180 pounds, no name, no lumps, no bumps, full life clear, 2 good eyes, no busted limbs, piss okay, genitals intact, multiple scars, heals fast, O negative, high octane universal donor, lone road warrior rundown on the Powder Lakes V8, no guzzling, no supplies, isolate psychotic, keep muzzled. Is what his a tattoo on his back that you see for 5 seconds, and the woman who's in who's all tattooed up, who's with the wives at the beginning, you know, who Joe runs into, they actually physically wrote down actual, because she's supposed to be like the historian, that they tattoo history and she is supposed to, you know, teach culture to everybody. They actually wrote actual historic events all over her, and you never even really get a close-up on her to even see what it even says. But the actual detail in something that you is gone in 3 seconds is insane. We cut to Charlize Theron as Furiosa, preparing her war rig, that massive, awesome-looking semi that they impose whale sounds when she... there's actual whale sounds they use for it.
Freaking tanker, man.
George Miller referred to it as the Moby Dick. You know, they're all chasing Moby Dick. She's preparing the war rig for supply run to Gastown, another place you just don't even see, but we see characters from Gastown, the bullet farmer, you know, all these guys, and then the people eater, but we just never see Gastown. We never see the bullet farm. As a Morton Joe, this, you know, tyrannical leader, like we said at the top, is donning all his war medals. He's got like pus and goiters popping out of his body. They're all spraying talcum powder all over him as they load him up and they put his Darth Vader breathing apparatus on him. He looks out over the poor folk down below, hypes up his war boys for the load that they're taking aqua cola, not water, aqua cola, to Gastown and the bullet farm for supplies. And then he ends up dumping massive amounts of water on everybody. Everybody's all hyped to get just even a sip of it. And then he cuts them off and tells them, "Do not become addicted to water." On the road to Gastown, Furiosa inadvertently hangs a Louie. We're going this way. All the guys in the caravan are, "What's going on? What's going on?" She lets them know, "Hey, you know, we're taking a detour. All right. I'll send it down the line." When Joe is informed that Furiosa has veered off, he immediately checks on his wives. We find out that he has a bunch of slave wives.
In a huge vault.
Yeah. Written everywhere are "We are not things, and our baby, we don't want our babies to be warlords everywhere." To which the woman, the tattoo woman we were talking about, said that she's taking them, you know, she's getting rid of them, she's taking them to safety. We think they kill her, but then we see her again later. I was like, oh, she ended up living. She's fine. Meanwhile, Max is being hooked up to Nicholas Holt, who is a sickly war boy who's being used. He's being used as a blood bag. Sick imagery.
With the little line running through the chain and everything.
Yeah, like, I love it.
Yeah.
We find out that we're actually preparing to go after Furiosa. Holt's like, I found my second wind. I got that high octane O negative pulsing through me. If I'm going to die, I'm going to die historic on the Fury Road on the way to Valhalla. I love just how they just worship the V8 engine, everything too, before, as they ceremoniously grab their steering wheels. They get the, they do the V8, V8, the eight fingers making the V. Yeah. I love it. We get the, obviously, the most iconic image of this film, the sick fucking band that hypes everybody up. You know, we got those drums blasting. We got the Doof Warrior up front. Has an entire backstory, by the way, that George Miller gave him. He was a blind poor guy who learned to play the guitar, and now he's just fucking ramping people up. Playing on a massive guitar that spits fire. Are you kidding me?
With a, that's just huge, a shitload of speakers behind him, man.
Speakers.
That's so cool. In the book that I had just finished, they said that they wanted to do something like that so the music is diegetic, so you know how far away the danger is. Instead of having music play like a score would, you can hear them in the distance coming. That's how we know danger is coming, kind of thing. Once they're close enough that you can hear off in the distance those guitars, okay, this is how far we are.
Yeah, know? They do that a lot too, like in, you know, far distant shots where you just see like the dust trail of cars coming, or like, not, you know, spoilers, but when the oil rig is, or the war rigs broke down and they're like getting water and stuff like that, and just those shots where they just keep cutting to see like how far away they are, like, it's so.
And that one creepy gal is like, "Is that a vision?
Yeah.
Or do my eyes deceive me?"
It just continues to build the suspense. Like, it's, you're like constantly looking over your shoulder.
And it's just fucking sick, guys. I'm just like, how fucking metal is that? Doesn't even have to be. No. They get, honestly, they could be up there playing Keith Urban, and I'd be like, "That looks fucking
that
awesome."
Looks awesome.
Fucking Rascal Flatts.
Frats.
Hi, Mel. Every time you look at me.
Highway, you know? That'd have been sick. They should have done that. I'm going to write George Miller a letter.
Honestly, just re-edit it. Just add that music in there.
Yeah.
Some dueling banjos. Bling, ding, 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 ding.
It wouldn't be that hard. I'll give you $100.
Conan did it, right?
Who did now?
Conan.
Oh, yeah, of course Conan did. I sent you guys that video. I used to watch. I watched that a lot, too. That's one of those. I need to pick me up. I want to see Conan up there.
Shredding.
Actually worked. It was a working guitar that also shot flame by, he could control it by using the whammy bar. That is what actually spit the flames out.
That's sick.
And I want to know what prop house that's sitting in.
Yeah, no,
I want to go worship at the altar, you know. Furiosa leads them into a canyon, and we see, like, you know, kind of Tuscan Raider-esque looking guys with their, you know, spiked cars following them. They got the sick, you know, buzz saws on the side. They refer to them as the buzzards. We get that awesome stunt where they're trying to get away from them. It's almost like the ground gives out. There's a trap with the spikes in there, and we get the car full front flip and then nosedives into that. I would love to know how they, that was the one thing I was like, man, I wish they would talk about. That's like the one stunt where it's like, how do you get the car to do a full front flip and land in that hole? And then that was in the making of thing. They never actually talked about that. And I was like, that's the one I want to know.
Damn it.
Stop talking about how you rolled a big rig. Yeah, that's impressive, but yeah, I see that every holiday season on the highway, brother.
Tell me how you made the car do a freaking hard flip, dude. Like a freaking skateboard.
The convoy rolls in. Before we can take on Furiosa, we have to get rid of the buzzards. So right now we have to work with them before we can work against them. The guys on the war rig are starting to realize, hey, maybe we're working for the wrong gal right now. So they're trying to turn on her. We see the wives are starting to come out. Oh, it's too hot down there, that kind of thing. So we see that, yeah, we can visibly see now that she's trying to get these gals out of here. We get the great image of the guy on top of the war rig get hit with those two arrows. witness me! Witness me!
Yeah, that's the great scene.
Oh my goodness. They talked about how in the book, he jumps off that and they stop him at 6 inches above the spikes.
Oof.
Like, and then he goes, I want to emphasize, these are real spikes. These are not rubber. These are really going to hurt. There's very, very small room for air. I just love how super Australian everybody is on the making of this. And except for George Miller, like he is, but he doesn't have like that thick Aussie accent.
Like that Tom Brady, like the way he looks, like the way he smells.
Great, great image. Nux is, Nicholas Holt is hyped. That's because that's how he wants to go to.
Poor guy.
He had three chances.
He had three tries.
Mediocre. Aww. Another great image of the crane getting blown up to throwing guys in the air. You get that great slow-mo shot of the crane flipping, guys flying, hitting the ground, getting just
dulled.
So good. Yeah, exactly. Furiosa decides she's going to drive directly into a sandstorm. Meanwhile, Tom Hardy's trying to get free. He's at the front of that. You know, he's still operating as a blood bag, but is at the perch of his car. He finally gets out, but unfortunately he's still kind of chained to Nicholas Holt, so he kind of has to go where he goes at this moment. He sees that Holt's going full psycho. He opens up a spot in his car, starts filling up with gasoline. He's going to, you know, suicide bomb into the war rig to take her out. Takes out the flare. Tom Hardy puts two and two together, realizes what's happening. Breaks through the windshield. Is able to grab it before he goes. And then the tornado and the dust storm just kind of wipes us all away, and we get that great shot of the road flare just slowly fizzling out. And that's when I hear my wife go, oh. I was like, yeah. There was one person in the theater, in that full theater, that just went, wow. And I was like, yeah, brother.
Yeah, dude.
We're all here. Like I said, one of the greatest film experiences I've ever seen in a theater. It was just like, everybody was just like, you could feel white knuckling. Especially that final, not even so much a chase scene. It's like more of a race towards the end. But like that final action scene is perfect.
Epic.
Obviously, Holt hits us with that famous, what a day, what a lovely day.
What a lovely day.
And then I like how we keep cutting to his little dash bobblehead, like shaking his head.
What a lovely day.
Hardy wakes up in the sand. He attempts to unchain himself from Holt. The shotgun full of sand doesn't work anymore. What does that call it? Dry fire, something like that.
Sure.
So he has to haul him up on his back because, unfortunately, the war rig is just parked like, not doesn't even look like that far.
I can see it.
So I, like, not even like that weird hazy miragey blend to it. I can clearly see it. He walks up. He sees the wives are bathing, drinking water, while Furiosa is trying to clean the engine of all the sand that she just took on. He's using the shotgun as more of a, you know, we the audience know it doesn't work, but they don't. Grunts.
I just love, like, that's the only words that come out of his mouth. It's just like.
So Michael famously Mad Max barely talks.
Okay, that makes sense then.
So I guess that is information.
He's a man
that
of
you
few
just...
words.
Yes, okay. I think he like has like 7 lines in Road Warrior total, where he just. I think he talks quite a bit in that first one because they don't really know exactly what this is, and then from there he barely talks. I would say he talks a lot in this movie too, towards the end, but
yeah. It gets better, or it gets, you know, more frequent, but I just love how it's mostly just grunts, but in the shape of words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Famously doesn't talk a whole lot. We just got a grunt. What a. Furiosa tackles him. He's still chained to Holt, so we get that scene of him trying to fight her off. But it's also a fair fight because we also failed to say she's only got one arm.
Only got one arm.
She got that sick metal claw, but it's hanging on the rig right now. She's letting the nub breathe. So she's fighting a one-armed guy who's also chained to another guy. So I guess maybe fair.
And she has a cache of like hidden guns.
Yeah. She finds out that shotgun doesn't work. She gets the upper hand, goes to shoot him, doesn't work. Haha, tricked you. Fucker. Nicholas Holt's starting to come to. He's starting to fight off too. The gals are holding him back. Finally, Max gets the upper hand, takes the gun from her, fires a couple shots into the sand. He lets her know, hey guys, I'm just taking your car.
I am the captain now.
Yeah, the little grand theft.
Look at me.
I like how he starts driving away, and the girls are all...
Whatever.
And he's like, no, just take your stuff and go, because I know. Oh, joke's on you. I installed a bunch of kill switches. Only I know how to drive. And he goes, all right, get in the car. And then she's like, well, no, we're all going. And he goes, all right, then we're just going to wait. We'll just do that. We'll do Nicholas Holt's way. Because obviously he's trying to get them back to Morton Joe. He's like, we'll just wait. She convinces him. He's actually, like, not a good person. I don't know why you're putting your faith in this guy. You're trusting that he will reward you for something. All right, fine, get in the car.
You made your point.
She hits... I love how, you know, we get in the car. We do the game of I don't trust anybody. You know, he's collecting all the weapons from everybody. He obviously, you know, she does the thing where I have the knife in the stick shift, but he doesn't know that. But he's collecting all these weapons. We take off. We turn around, and we have the world's best binoculars.
There we do.
Not only... We're zooming in on actual people's faces from, like, miles away.
Insane.
We see that now Joe has reinforcements from both... we have the People Eater from Gastown. Sick name.
Yeah.
He's got a metal nose, and he's got pierced nipples.
Fuck yeah. I want to hang out with that dude.
And he's got the world's biggest foot.
Better.
And then you got probably my favorite character. You got the Bullet Farmer.
What a name, though.
Yeah.
Like, are we farming? We're literally harvesting bullets? Post-apocalyptic world?
Yep.
You do end up seeing both Gastown and Bullet Farm in Furiosa.
Mm.
I don't know if you've seen... Have you seen Furiosa, Brandon?
Yeah, I've seen it just as many times as Fury Road, to be honest. I have to watch both of them. It's just like... I haven't watched it yet.
Do you like Furiosa?
Yeah, I loved
it. As much?
Yeah.
You know,
I think it does such a great job of picking up, you know, on the storyline. Like, it's just
my one critique. I loved the movie; thought it was great.
Could be longer.
Wow! In a perfect world,
I know.
Honestly,
right?
I found out 2 days ago when I watched this movie that this is one rated R. Had no idea. I've seen this movie probably 100 times, and I'm not. That's not even like a sarcastic number. Like, that is probably truthfully 100 times. No idea it was rated R. And it was also, I was like, oh, this is 2 hours? I thought this was like an hour and a half long movie. I would have...
Yeah.
This movie flies for me.
Yeah, no, me too. I watched it last night because I think I told you that I had just watched it like a couple weeks ago. So I watched it last night and it finished and I was like, oh, it's midnight. Like, that was 2 hours. Like,
yeah,
just flew by.
I didn't, with Furiosa, that my one critique is the CGI. This movie, you can tell everything was made, handmade. And then, I get it, George Miller's 82. Maybe he doesn't want to spend another 8 months filming
in the desert.
A movie, and he doesn't want to take 2 years.
Yeah, why
to
would
edit?
You though? Like, I don't blame them at all. Like, you take all your resources from this one, and you're essentially using them again, right?
Yeah.
As a, you can take a lot of the same footage. I mean, you can do it in half the time it took to shot this movie, and it's going to be a whole hell of a lot cheaper.
For a film series that prides itself on the practical stunts, that was, I felt a little let down by that in Furiosa, but it's fine. Like,
my brother-in-law's hot take was that he liked Furiosa better than the other ones.
Oh, it definitely is more of a three-act structure, where this movie is just a chase.
You're literally,
one long act.
I compare it to a movie we did on the AFI podcast, The General, the silent film with the train, where obviously we're going faster, but we're literally going one direction, and at the halfway point, we go back. So it's, you know, George Miller did say he wanted to make the loudest silent film of all time. So here we are.
And you did it.
Furiosa tells us, hey, we're going into the canyon. I bought a safe passage from these weirdos that we, from the cast of Rad up on the hills. We got the dirt bikes and everything up there. You know, a couple brinks. But she says, hey, I need to know your name because I might not make it out of here. And I'm going to need you to drive the rig. I need you to get these girls to safety. Doesn't tell her name. And he goes, all right, cool. If I yell fool, take off running. Here's the sequence. One, one, two, one, one, red, black, go.
I recited it back when she said that. I was like, did I hear that right? And I rewinded back. I was like, yes.
Yeah, I do it too. And then, did you get that? And he goes, Grog, say yes. She gets out. Apparently, she has 300 gallons of gasoline. In the back of the war rig that she goes to try to unhook that, you know, the thing they've been dragging this entire time. I got you guzzling, no worries. To which they spout back, you said it would just be a couple people, and we got like a horde of people coming in from three different communities, by the way, Citadel, Gaston, and Bullet Farm. She goes, yeah, I got unlucky.
What are you gonna do?
What's it gonna do? They open fire. She picks up on it. We can hear that guitar in the background slowly building. She yells fool. Tom Hardy takes off driving. She's able to get back in. Guys, we got another chase on our hands.
Yay.
Chase is on the case.
Yeah, he is.
I've been told that's a thing people say.
Paw Patrol.
I was going to say, that seems like a Paw Patrol thing.
I saw Brandon's face light up.
Yeah.
Like a Vietnam veteran.
Yeah. out of PTSD or happiness.
Yeah, it was out of trauma.
It's like you're a sleeper cell, you know, you're just like, that's your trigger word.
Trigger.
Are you on to Bluey yet?
We're past that. Did you know the creator of Bluey is stepping away from Bluey? He's making a movie and that's it.
Oh. I've never seen a lick of Bluey.
Oh my god.
Yeah, Bluey's
ruined.
Solid. It's solid.
There's a
my brother-in-law says it's really good.
Yeah, that's what I
hear. They're good.
There's a house, especially a couple houses down, that has a Bluey like blow up, and my dog, ironically enough, my cattle dog, barks at it every time.
That's hilarious.
We get that great stuff of the bikers jumping over the war rig, dropping little bombs. We're slowly dispatching them. It's kind of easy to hit, you know, just kind of, you know, shooting clay pigeons in the sky. Pop, pop, pop. But Joe is closing in. He's got that sick, like, monster truck with his son Rictus Erectus on the back with that massive gun. Great name, by the way.
I love those two. Like, I think they're great villains. I think they're, like, visually, like, so cool looking.
Yeah.
Like, what cyborg-ish.
What I meant to say at the beginning... Not only are these vehicles all operational, every war boy, you know, stunt performer, actor, George Miller had them create their own backstories. So if he would come to them and ask them, why is your, you know, your pants are ripped? How did that happen? They would say, oh, it got torn in the tussle of, you know what? Like, they had a thorough knowledge of their entire character, why the car they're driving has this dent. That what happened here? Oh, this happened 3 years ago on the you know, yada yada yada. Like, so
they were all
and then you add like actual, you know, like Nathan Jones, the guy who plays Rictus Erectus, he is in a lot of stuff you've seen. He's usually just the big muscly villain, usually like the henchman or whatever.
He's in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, he's a.
He's in Fast and Furious. And he was in the Scorpion King.
Mm-hmm. He was the Scorpion King.
Crazy.
No, that was The Rock. we get Nicholas Holt, who's in the monster truck with them. He's like, let me go over there. I'll take care of her. He gives him that silver, you know, revolver. Pop her once in the head. I want her dead. He jumps on the war rig. He's all hyped up. I got my moment. He goes running, slips off the war rig. And then Joe just goes, mediocre. I love it.
It is like comedic relief. A little bit. Just like, oh, God, he failed again.
We get a bunch of harpoon shot at the rig, which, by the way, this whole thing is full of water. Why aren't we, I don't know, maybe empty the water? Maybe we go a little faster? Why we got a bunch of dead weight in the back?
Yeah. At this point, you're being chased. Anything, if you get caught, it's getting seized. Like, you're it's just collateral.
They're going to the green place. There's plenty of water there.
Why didn't they just drain the tank as they're driving and make mud and just, like, watch everybody just struggle through mud?
Big brain, you know? They didn't have big brain. Jesus.
No. Bunch of half-lives. Yeah. They're trying They're trying to unhook a bunch of harpoons. One of the wives, played by Rose Huntington, is it Wheatley or Whiteley? She's only been in like two movies. She called it a day. Famous model, I guess.
Jason Statham's wife, right?
I know that they were together for a while, but I don't know if they're
or ex-wife, baby mama. Mm. I know they got kids.
A very pregnant Rose Huntington Whiteley kind of slips getting rid of the harpoons. Max like turns around to see if she's okay. Hey, I'm okay. And, you know, he gives that like that little half-hearted thumbs up kind of thing, only for her to then slip, fall. Joe freaks out because that's his favorite. She's clearly pregnant. He cuts the wheel. We flip the monster truck. Furiosa's like, we have to go back for her. And he's like, she went under the wheels. Do you think she really did?
It looked like it, but I don't know.
Or was he just saying, trust me, she's already dead, that kind of thing.
They got me speculating.
We find that Holt is like, Nicholas Holt is like, it's back in the war rig, kind of cowering in the back, crying. He abandoned because he got abandoned by Joe. The redheaded wife, you know, kind of takes pity on him. And there's clearly a thing between the two of them also. We get some weird day for night. That is all shot in the day. And then they just put that blue, almost purple filter over it, where everything goes from like the bright blue sky and the nice gold dunes. Now it's like the dunes are black, everything else is blue. To where they get stuck in the mud. Someone ahead of them was watering the ground. They get stuck in the mud. I like that Nicholas Holt doesn't know what a tree is. He's like, no, there's high ground over past that thing. And they go, the tree? And he goes, yeah, the tree thing. So they have to try to pull themselves out. But guys, we got the bullet farmer hot on our heels. This guy, he's so much fun. And we don't get him for very much longer. he lets them know, I'm just going to go in there. And they're like, hey, be careful. We don't need to lose another wife. And he goes, I just need one shot. Pulls a bullet that he had in his like teeth. Like breaks it out, loads up his gun, goes in. From what I found out, his vehicle with the tank tracks was the hardest vehicle to get to operate. like to actually make work.
That makes sense. It looks pretty
complicated. But he's just, and he's gliding over everything. He comes flying in. He's got that massive spotlight. We got to get out of here. I like that Max, you know, shoots the rifle a couple times, and then Furiosa says, "You only got two shots left." And it's almost like he realizes it's not even his movie. He reluctantly hands the rifle over to her, and then she puts it on his shoulder to steady, and then gives him to Nidus when she shoots.
Yeah.
We get that image of, like, we get that little ringing sound for the audience, then we see him visually go, didn't like that. She shoots out the spotlight, bullseye. Shrapnel of it goes flying into the bullet farmer's face, and now he can't see. We get the image of them holding up the flare in front of his face. He goes, "Hold it in front of me, face." "It is in front of your face. I can't see it. It's right in front of your face."
I thought that was funny.
So he does what any normal person would do. He just pulls out like two fucking Uzis, bandages up over his eyes, and he just yells, "I am the scales of justice." He just starts shooting wildly. So good. Guys, this movie's amazing.
It's pretty funny. I was like, "Oh, that's a quirky little tidbit that I wasn't expecting."
And it's just like a random scene in this movie, too. It's like all of a sudden it's nighttime, and then we got crazy Uncle Bullet Farmer, who's the scales of justice.
Yeah.
I love that Max is just like, "Give me 5 minutes. I'll just take care of this real quick." It's a little foggy. He kind of disappears into the fog. She's like, "You know, what happens if you don't come back?" He's like, "Keep going. What do you mean, what if? Just fucking keep going." They're finally able to get out of the mud. He's lost in the fog. We see a small explosion, followed by him walking back to the truck. Just got a bag of guns and ammo. He's got blood all over him. They're like, "You're bleeding." And Frio's like, "It's not his blood." I'm like, "Goddamn right it's not."
Yeah.
Finally, they have some distance between them. And they're finally able to go to the green place. While on their way, they see that giant, you know, radio tower. Furiosa is like, "I know this place. This is my home." They go there. They see a nude woman atop, to which we get that great gif. That's bite. She calls in a tribe of women called the Vuvalini. George Miller said he wanted to call it the Vulvalini.
I was going to say, that sounds really close to...
But then Warner's was like, "You can't fucking call it that." He's like, "Okay, how about the Vuvalini?"
Yeah.
Who is Furiosa's family? Question mark. Certainly tribe. The nude gal up top. She was her friend, growing up. How long has it been? She says, "You know, 7,000 days, plus a few I don't remember." You know, that kind of thing. They said, "Well, if you came this way heading to the green place, you would have passed it." And they're like, "We didn't pass the green place." Guys, it was the fucking muddy ass swamp.
Yep.
With those crow like things on stilts walking around out there.
"Get out of my swamp."
Shrek?
Yeah. The merging of two movies.
I'd watch it twice.
No kidding, I would.
I'd watch it out of pure curiosity, you know? Develop opinions after.
We get the great shot of Furiosa climbing that dune and falling to her knees. Just like, honestly, right at magic hour. Right when the sun's coming and it's like hitting the sand dune just right. And we get that small layer of dust blowing at her knees while she just like screams in agony. That her home went, all this was for nothing, they think. They load up bikes and they're like, "All right, I guess we'll just keep heading down this way." Max has this great idea. I have an epiphany, you may. He says, "What if, instead of going that way, we go back that way?" And like, "What are you talking about?" And he goes, "You want green? Citadel, green." And they're like, "He's right, it is green. It got water and everything. It'll take us days to go around the mountain." He goes, "No, we go right down the canyon. Guys, it's unprotected. You take it easy, we go right back through the canyon, and we close it off. Hey, it's just crazy enough, it might work. Fucking giddy up, guys."
Vroom.
Yeah. Insert the Kevin James yelling, "Gentlemen, start your engines!" we're in the final scene, the final action piece, and like I said at the top, it's perfect. Mwah. Joe realizes, I like how they're everyone's just like taking a nap, chilling. The guitar player's just like in his little harness, using it as like a hammock. They realize that they're heading back to the Citadel. Like, or are they retreating? No, they're trying to take the Citadel. Who'd have thought? So now we're falling. We're going crazy. We get the crazy old lady in the back of the war rig cocking the shotgun. Oh, it's just like the old days.
He's ready to go.
We got Vuvolini on motorbikes, you know, kind of flanking war boys as they come in. But guys, let's add another element to this. We got polecats.
Yeah, we do.
I love the polecats.
Those are neat, man.
Those guys are truly going 60 miles an hour, doing all that. They're Cirque du Soleil performers that they got up there. It was real trial and error. In the book, Blood, Sweat, and Chrome, by the way, is the name of the book, if you're interested. They had a guy shimmy up there, and they wanted to see how fast they can go. They found that once you hit 70, the poles vibrate so much it throws them off. Mm. So they literally, a guy going 70, like 60, that's the magic number. And they're truly
still terrifying.
It's such an incredible set piece of all that stuff going on too, of guys flipping, flailing, landing on war rigs, pulling Zoe Kravitz just out of the war rig, like Sans really doing that. So good. Obviously, we got that great scene of image of Tom Hardy fighting on it with his head right above the sand, cuts the guy loose, and then the counterweight, now that guy's gone, he goes flipping, flying. Whoop. And then while the people eater's car is exploding in slow-mo, and you just get that scene of him looking, whoa. We're tussling in the fight. Furiosa ends up getting stabbed in the side. She's not, you know, she's slipping. She's not doing so great. But she's still able to drive us into the canyon. And it's kind of now becomes more them versus Joe's monster truck with Rictus on the back. Holt takes over driving because Furiosa's now a liability. Let me take over. Joe's now in front. They decide, let's get the girls in the front. We got the harpoons going. Furiosa takes that harpoon, jams it into Joe's breathing apparatus, hits him with the Remember Me, sticks it in the wheels, rips his face clean off.
Yeah.
Beautiful. He's dead. Now we can take over his car. Holt's like, all right, load up the cars, let's go. But we forgot about Rictus, guys. He jumps on the front, and I love how he just yanks the engine clean out.
Yeah.
Nicholas Holt, knowing he's not going to make it, hits us with the, witness me. No, don't do it. Does it. Cranks the wheel, flips the rig, goes slap. I love in the making of how they were like, it just so happened that he nailed it that first try. They have those boots on the side that flip it completely over. And how they actually thought that the stunt guy driving got his head slammed. Because they had a fake dummy Nicholas Holt in there for the scene. And he went through the sunroof. And so when they were filming, the director thought that was the stunt guy. And he landed clean on his head because the whole cab flips completely over. So he is leaving the tent thinking that we just watched somebody die.
That guy's dead.
And then they found the dummy, and the top of the head was completely scalped.
Damn.
Jeez.
And he was able to get out, you know, gave him the old thumbs up. But great scene. Tunnels closed off, and then we have all the other rigs in the back that just slam into it. And then, just in case you didn't know this movie, you could watch this movie in 3D. You see the guitar come flying at you in 3D. We didn't watch it in 3D, but that was an option. That would kill me. Are you kidding me? I don't want to be that well-versed.
Yeah.
Can you imagine watching this in like 40X?
I was going to watch the black and white version. But...
the black and chrome, my guy.
Yeah.
I was going to also, but I was like, you know what? You got to watch it correctly for this. And then... I'm gonna watch the movie again, guy. You know,
yeah,
it is on Max.
It's the same thought process. I was like, no, I want to be like visually teased, like just my eyeballs. Just.
I do think it's strange that they have a black and white version for this.
I do too, but I've never seen it, so I wanted to give it a shot.
Yeah. The colors are so vibrant in this movie.
Yeah,
like,
I love it.
It seems weird that they would just completely mute them.
And like, you
and is it
on,
truly
like the
black and chrome, or is it black and white? Like, what if everything is just like super shiny and silver and black? Yeah,
they just turn like down the contrast and then switch some colors and call it good.
Yeah,
just the different color filters they use is just so cool too. Just to make everything just a different hue.
I like how when we're headed to the Citadel, Charlize Theron is dying. She can't breathe. Her lungs are filling up, and Tom Hardy goes, "I am so sorry," the way he says it, and he stabs her in the lung to, you know, let her breathe. "I'm so sorry." Hooks her up with his high-octane universal donor blood. That's some good blood in you now. She comes right to, "Hey, my name is Max, and my world is fire and blood." Every time he says that, I finish the sentence for him. "And my world is fire and blood." She comes to, we get back to the Citadel. Max shows everybody, Morton Joe's dead, you're free. Let's all ride the elevator back up top, because Furiosa's going to now, I guess, lead? Who knows? She turns around looking for Max. But no, guys, he's a road warrior. He belongs on the road. Honka, honka. His car is destroyed. But, you know, so we kind of get that ending shot of him just disappearing into the crowd. And that's the end of the greatest film that's ever made.
Yeah.
Love it.
That was good.
Obviously, I like this movie a lot.
Just a little bit.
Do you think this has a chance that if or when AFI ever decides to update itself, do you think this movie could make it on there? Just with its practical effects and everything?
Yeah, I would say as far as like with like, you watch the movie and then you know that all of these stunts are just purely like that is car. Those are car flippings and shit. Like, cause there's other movies on the list too that we thought that, oh, it's just on there for, you know, X, Y, or Z. So I think it could replace some of those.
Yeah. There's movies on this list that are on here for far less than what this movie is consisting of.
Yeah.
So yeah, I do think it's got a good chance to make it on there.
I really wish that filmmakers would look at this film and realize that we can do stuff practically, you know, especially with a lot of these, and this is not necessarily a Marvel thing. It's just like, obviously you can't have a lot of stuff without CGI in those movies. I'm not even talking about that, but even just like a lot of these action movies now, like fire is, you know, when you see fire and you go, well, that's clearly CGI.
Yeah.
Cause it just looks bad. Just like, I wish we would use this film as, oh, we can do this stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. And maybe that, and again, the thing with Furiosa, again, is that they use all that CGI for it, and at the end of the movie, because it's, Michael, it's technically a prequel to Fury Road, during the credits, they show you footage of Fury Road, and you can clearly see the difference. And it's so, it does this weird thing to my eyes because I'm watching, you know, all the CGI stuff. And then at the end, they show you, oh, you remember how all the cool stuff in Fury Road? Here it is again, you know, I'm just like, man. But again, I understand. George Miller, you're 82.
Yeah.
I just want you to keep making these movies,
keep
man.
Keep going with the story.
Yeah. Even if Tom Hardy is a pain in the ass. Apparently held up set all the time. Was a diva. I'm waiting in my trailer. Charlize Theron was always there early because she knew that he was going to be late, and then tried to make an example of him all the time. Yelled at him, cussed at him. Apparently, the fight scene that they had together was a lot of them getting their aggression out on each other.
Wow.
By the end of it, they kind of changed their tune towards each other. It was just more of a, you know, we have to work together. We spend the entire time in the cab together. I guess we should probably get along. He started figuring out that, hey, you know, the world doesn't revolve around him. He blames it on big shoes to film. There's a lot on his shoulder. I was like, dude, come on.
You're just being a dick.
They also, both of them fought with the director a lot too, because they just didn't understand what he was trying to film. It's hard to do that when there's barely a script and you're just going off storyboards. He's filming to edit. which means instead of you doing stuff like random stuff, like, oh, picking up a phone, putting it down, you know, grabbing, he's filming the 2 seconds of you grabbing the cup and cut. Like, so he's filming to edit. When the film premiered at Cannes, both Charlize Theron and Tom Hardy apologized to, and George Miller takes on a lot of the, he's like, honestly, I probably could have been, you know, a little bit more open about what I was trying to do. I was just, it was just all up in here, and I didn't know how to, you know, get it out. He goes, I do take a lot of the blame for that, but at Cannes, they both apologized, said, we had no idea what you were doing, and watching it now, or like, okay, we understand what you were doing, obviously, but...
Yeah, in hindsight, yeah.
But, great film. I hate to see it go now, you know. I'm truly looking at it in my rearview mirror. But we have more important things to do, guys, right now.
Yeah.
So, everybody out there in Radio Land, our 10 films are done. We picked 10 up, 10 down. We're now moving on, you know, to a new group of films. Brandon very quickly had the idea to do rom-coms. So we're going to do some rom-coms, guys. What we're going to do is, instead of it being 10 films, we're going to knock it down to 6. We can always come back to rom-coms after a cycle, but for the next foreseeable future, I'm assuming we're just going to be picking some genres, and we're all going to, you know, pick some films. Brandon, you're first on my screen, so why don't you pick the first film?
Okay, you guys ready?
Yes, sir.
Garden State.
Garden State?
Yes.
Okay, not on my list.
Nice, good. I love this movie.
I also assume we would do the what we did last time, just do everything in chronological order of when it came out, you know, kind of thing. But, Michael, what about you?
I'm going to go big.
Big. And what are you going to
choose? Oh, the movie Big?
Oh, yeah, the movie Big. Sorry. Yeah. You responded like you were like, hell yeah.
I'm going big.
No, the movie.
We were like, I'm going big. Yeah. And I was like, okay.
No.
Here it comes.
I understand how that would be confusing. I'm going the movie Big.
Okay. I'm going Say Anything.
Oh, good one. That's on my list, too. That's one of the backup ones, so that's good.
Oh, it's on 3 of your list? That's shit. Good. That's good to know. Yeah. Truly my favorite rom-com. I knew that when Brandon said rom-coms, I had 4 pop into my head immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, I know this, as far as a power ranking, this is the number one that I'm taking. All right, Brandon.
I'm going to go Wedding Crashers.
Nice.
Wedding Crashers.
I could see how that's a rom-com, but also I could see how it would not be a rom-com.
I had different, like, categories, like, my picks, so.
All right, Michael.
We'll go Princess Bride.
On my list.
Yeah, you know. Look at that.
That was the one that I looked up, because I looked just to see if Google had it as, you know, romance slash comedy or comedy slash... That was the only one that didn't say romance. It was under comedy slash family slash fantasy.
Like, it, the so whole... Like,
does this count? I was like, I think it does, yeah, but...
it does.
The Princess Bride. The Princess Bride.
My wife.
That sounds like a girl book.
You don't want me to read you the book? Okay.
All right. So, I could go a few ways here. I have a big one, but I've never seen it, so I kind of don't want to do that one. Brandon's looking at me because he knows what I have in my arsenal right now. Is it too similar to Wedding Crashers?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. But I have... guys, it's between two. All right. Since we're waiting on me, I have two in my chamber that I really want to do. One is She's All That.
Oh, nice.
The other one is I Love You, Man.
Oh, another good one.
Which is, it's a romantic comedy.
Yeah.
I think you have to between two buddies, because it's right? Like it's just a movie that everybody quotes.
And it has like, "I love you" in the title.
Yeah, it's a rom-com.
I know. All right. Okay. All right.
And it's just fun.
Freddie Prinze Jr. We'll come back to you one day. I love you, man. I love you, bro, Chacho.
Oh.
All right. So this, I don't know what the order is going to be, but for everybody out there, we will be covering. For you guys, it'll be next week. For us, we're going to take a little time off. We have Garden State, Big, Say Anything, Wedding Crashers, The Princess Bride, and I Love You, Man. That's all we got going on, right? That's all we want to talk about? Yeah, I think we're good.
Perfect.
Well, we'll see you next time. Well, obviously you'll know which one. Just look at your episode title. That's the one we're doing first. What do you say we go ahead and cut print check the gate?
See you guys.
Goodbye.
Witness me.
What a lovely day.